ఓం ధ్యాయామోదవళావకుండనవతీం తేజోమయీ నైష్టికీం స్నిగ్ధాపాంగవిలోకినీం భగవతీ మందస్మితశ్రీముఖీం వాత్సల్యామృతవర్షిణీం సుమధురం సంకీర్తనాలాపినీం శ్యామాంగీ మధ్యసిక్తసూక్తిం అమృతానందాత్మికామీశ్వరీం. We are discussing the 16th shloka of Saundarya Lahari. The previous shloka spoke about Devi in the form of Saraswati. This shloka speaks about that Devi who is termed as Aruni or Aruni. So that Devata, that Devi, who is like the rising sun, who is bright, who is shining like the rising sun, that sun which when the sun rises, that sun, like it's called Arunan, is Aruna is another word for sun, that sun which shines very well. So it is the dawn sun, or it's not dawn like dawn sun. So dawn sun, that Devi who is shining like the dawn sun, she is called Aruni or Aruni. And what would bhaktas who worship such a Devi, the Devi in the form of Aruna, get? So when a person worships Aruni, that Devi who is like the dawn sun, such bhaktas, what would they gain? That is what Shankara deals in this shloka. Though it all leads up to one, that the basic or the fundamental principle of Advaita, that everything is Brahman. So everything, anything and everything that is related to devotion or knowledge would lead us to that state. That state wherein we are ever blissful, ever happy. So we are not bothered about the world because we know that the world is an illusion. Mithya Jagat Adhishthana. That Devi who is the Adhishthanam, the substratum of the illusory world. So all, whatever we learn, whatever work we learn, whatever theories we learn, everything leads to that state. That state wherein we are immersed, we are totally focused on Brahman, that Brahman which alone exists and which is the substratum of the illusory names and forms, illusory namarupam that we see as the world. And that is the purpose, that is the goal of all work. So directly or indirectly, each and every work, each and every shloka, each and every philosophy or theory in any work would be taking us to that state, will be directing us towards realization of that state, or how we can. So any work, any Advaita work, if we take, that would be either dealing with the goal of Advaita, proving the goal of Advaita, or showing us the path to realizing that state, the path to attain such a state, the path to go and be in such a state. So all the works of Vedanta are pointing that way. So if we take direct meaning, if we take normal meaning, then we may not be able to be led towards Brahman, towards that Brahman which alone exists. But if we have to harmonize all the works, whether it is about Devi or Shiva or Vishnu, we have to harmonize, we want to harmonize it with respect to the scriptural statements, then we have to focus, we have to concentrate ourselves on Brahman. At that time we will be able to find that each of these works, whether they speak about a particular God or they speak about Vedantic truth, or they speak about Yukti, Yuktivadam, they all lead to that Brahman which alone exists. And if we realize such a Brahman, or only when we realize such a Brahman, we will be able to be blissful always. So bliss or anandam can be experienced, can be attained only by realizing such a Brahman. And realization of such a Brahman is done by Shravanamana Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam or Anusandhanam can also be called or termed as bhakti, real bhakti, which is always remembering such a Ishvara, such a God who alone exists. So for a Devi Bhakta, he has to always remember, always contemplate on Devi who alone exists. So that Devi who is the Adhishtanam of the Mithya Jagat, that Devi who alone exists, that Devi who is Sri Mata, Sri Maharajni, Sri Matsimhasimeshwari, that Devi who is the creator, protector and destroyer of the world, that Devi in whom the world is seen, that Devi who is the essence of all beings, that Devi, the Devi Bhakta would always worship. Such worship is called Bhakti or Bhajanam. So real Bhajanam is when we worship Devi, knowing Devi as Brahman, as that Brahman which alone exists. So if we worship Devi as a particular form and being limited to a form, and we are not able to point, or we are not able to indirectly involve Brahman in that particular form, then we'll not be led to happiness. So if we are, even when we are dealing with forms, we should always remember that the form is also an illusion. So the form is only a means to reach the formless. So when a person contemplates on a form and superimposes that form, sees that form in the entire world, then it becomes the formless. But directly thinking about the formless is tough for most of the people. Therefore, a form is, or many forms are prescribed. And that form should be made all pervasive in the world. So that form should be seen in the world, seen as the world. At that time, indirectly what we are achieving is negation of that form also, and thereby focusing on Brahman alone. And that alone can give us anandam. So, yo vai bhuma tat sukam, na alpe sukam asti. Yo vai bhuma, that which is bhuma. Bhuma is another word for purnam, that which is purnam. Purnamada purnamidam, that is also a famous Shanti mantra. So, bhuma is another word for Brahman, that Brahman which is anantam, that Brahman which is infinite, that Brahman which is unlimited, that Brahman which alone exists. So yo vai bhuma tat sukam, that which is bhuma tat sukam, that alone can give us bliss. Sukam na alpe sukam asti, there is no sukam in alpam. Alpam means small things, limited things. So whether it is a limited object of the world or a limited form of Devi or any other goddess, that cannot give us sukam, because na alpe sukam asti, there is no sukam in alpam. Only bhuma, or that which is full or perfect, that alone can give us anandam. So for a bhakta, for a Devi bhakta, he has to remember, that Devi alone exists here. So he has to remember to merge, remember to see that Devi as standing for Brahman, that Brahman which alone exists here. So the Devi, as per a Advaita Bhakta, a Bhakta who is following Advaita, for him Devi is Brahman. Devi is that reality which is the substratum of the entire world. Devi is that reality in which the world is seen, from which the world has come, and onto which the world vanishes. So Devi alone exists. That should be the bhakti. And while having such a bhakti, we can have different forms, but we have to remember that particular form, that form of Devi, whether it is form of Aruna or Aruni or Aruni, Aruna form of Devi or Saraswati form of Devi, we should remember that form is only an illusion, and it is a means to the goal of Nirguna Devi, that Devi who is Nirgunam, that devihood is Arupam, such a devi. So in this shloka, Shankara speaks about, so remembering that devi stands for the ultimate reality of Brahman, Shankara here says that people who worship such a devi who is like the dawn sun, like Aruna and termed as Aruna, such people will get a siddhi. The siddhi that such people get is they will be able to give happiness, they will be able to give anandam to santa or spiritual people. So if there is a devi bhakta who is worshipping the dawn, the devi as the, like the dawn sun, so devi in the form of Aruna, then such a person will be able to give happiness to santas or mahatmas. So if we are able to propitiate, if we are able to pacify mahatmas, then what do we gain out of it? So what we gain out of mahatmas is satsangatve nissangatvam, nissangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischalatatvam, nischalatatve jivanmukti. Satsangatve nissangatvam, satsangatve, by association with good people we will develop nissangam, being unattached to objects of the world, unattached to the body, unattached to the people around us, unattached to things around us as well. So satsangam will lead to nissangam. The more and more we interact with mahatmas, the more and more we interact with good people, spiritual people, the more we will become detached from the world. So nissangam, nissangatve nirmohatvam. If we are unattached to the world, then we will not be deluded by the objects of the world. As long as we are associated, as long as we are attached to the people of the world, we are attached to our parents, we are attached to our mother, we are attached to our brother, etc., then we will be deluded by it. So we will be affected by what happens to them. But the moment we are nissangam, we are unattached to things and people around us, then that will lead to nirmohatvam, the state of delusionlessness, or the state where we are not deluded anymore. Nirmohatve nischalatattvam. If we are not deluded, then our mind will be nischalam. Our mind will be like a ocean without waves. It will be without any chalanam. So that mind which is without any chalanam, yet acting in the world, it will still be acting, it will be perceiving things, but it will not be wavering like the mind of a samsari. So it will always be calm, it will always be calm whatever be the situation. So such a mind, when such a mind nischala tatve jivan muktihi, such a mind which is calm like an ocean without waves, that is the state of a jivan mukta. So a jivan mukta's mind will be unaffected, unperturbed, or whatever we can term it, like without any chalanam. So nistaranga jala rashi nishchalam, that is one beautiful phrase that Shankara uses in Viveka Chudamani. Nistaranga jala rashi nishchalam, nishchalam, the mind will be nishchalam like nistaranga jala rashi, like a jalam, like the jalam without any tarangam, without any waves, the ocean without any waves. So satsangatvam or association with good people will lead us to jivan mukti. And association with good people is possible only if the mahatmas are propitiated by us. So if the mahatmas like our presence, if the mahatmas like us, they are made happy by us, then they will become, they will allow us to be in their presence. So if we are able to do that, then we will get jivan mukti. So jivan mukti is possible by association with good people. Association with mahatmas is possible only when we propitiate them. We will be able to propitiate if we worship the form of Aruna. So the devi in the form of Aruna, if we are able to do bhajanam of such a devi, then we will be able to propitiate mahatmas. If we propitiate mahatmas, we will be led to jivan mukti. So that is the purpose or the goal or what we achieve by worshipping such a devi. That is what Shankara says in this shloka, that a person who worships such a devi in the form of Aruna, devi called as Aruna, such a person will be able to, such a person will be able to get Jivan Mukti. Such a person will be able to get into the state of Jivan Mukti. He will become a Jivan Mukta because he will be able to propitiate the Mahatmas. The shloka goes like this. Kavindranam Chetah Kamalavana Balata Paruchim Bhajante Ye Santah Kati Chidarunam Eva Bhavatim Virinchi Preyas Taruna Tarak Shringara Lahari Gabira Birvag Bihi Vidadati Satam Ranjanamami. This is in one of the popular raga, which is called Nilambari. Nilambari is also considered a raga, sleep time raga, a raga like which elderly people use to make their children sleep. So it's also called a sleep raga, or similar term also it is used. Songs are very less in this raga. As one of Amma's beautiful songs, I'll tell that. So this is in Nilambari Raga. So Shankara says, Kavindranam Chetah, Kavindranam, of great poets. So Kavi has multiple meanings, as we have already discussed many times earlier. The direct meaning is poet, and the indirect meaning is Mahatmas or realized saints. So Kavindranam, kings of poet or realized saints, Chetah Kamalavana Balatapa Ruchim. Balatapa Ruchim. So their mind, Kavindranam, their Chetaha, their mind is like a Kamalavanam. It is like a forest with many lotuses, and amidst that forest which has lotuses, that means in the mind of poets, that mind is like a forest with lotuses, and Devi is like the Tapa Ruchim, is like the rising sun. So Devi is shining, Devi is bright like the rising sun, and Devi is shining in the mind of great poets. In that mind, which can be, so Devi shining in the mind of poets can be compared to a forest with lotuses and the sun rising in that particular forest. So Devi shines in the mind of poets like that. And such a Devi, Bhavatim, such a Devi, you are Arunam Eva. So you are termed as Aruna. So Aruna is the name given to you. Given to you who are in the mind of Kavindra, great poets, king of poets, which is like, and like you are in the mind and you are termed as Aruna, and you shine like the rising sun in a forest with lot of lotuses. And Ye Katichid Santaha Bhajante. Ye, those who, Katichid, few people, Santaha, people who have done good karma, such people, Bhajante, who worship you. So those few good people who have done Punya Karmas, they worship you, and because of their worship, I mean, these people, because of their worship, Virinchi Preyasyaha. So Virinchi Preyasyaha. Virinchi Preyasyaha means the wife of Brahma. So Brahma or Brahma's wife or Saraswati is Tarunatara Shringaralahari. The youthful words, youthful and sweet words, Shringaralahari, Shringaram is one of the Navarasam. The Navarasam, Shringaram, Gambhiryam, etc. I don't know the names. It's called Navarasam. So Shringaram is a beautiful rasam. So Shringaram as well as youthful, sweet words that come out of Saraswati's mouth, similar words and filled with Gabhirabhihi Vagbihi, words. Gabhirabhihi Gambhiram. Gambhiram means strong or fearful words. These bhaja, these santaha, these people who worship you, they will have strong words and beautiful words, like the words coming out of the mouth of Saraswati. And because of these words, Vagbihi, with these words, Satam Ranjana Ranjanam Vidadati. So these people, these santaha who worship you, they use such beautiful and fierce, strong words to Ranjanam, to give happiness, to pacify, or to, I'm not getting the right word, to, we can say, in a way, propitiate Satam. Mahatmas, great people, Vidadati, they give it. So those people who worship you in this particular form, in this particular rupam, which is termed as Aruna, and which is like the like a which is shining, which is shi like the shining rising sun, and is there in the poet's mind, and it is like the rising sun in a forest of lotuses. And these santaha, these punyavan people who have done punyam, who worship you, they use beautiful words, beautiful and strong words, strong and beautiful words, like those coming out of Saraswati's mouth, and with that they propitiate Mahatmas. And since they propitiate Mahatmas, thereby the Mahatma will become happy with such a person. And when they become happy with such a person, they will satsangatvam. So with satsangam, they will, briefly we can say, they will instruct in Vedanta, give knowledge of Vedanta, and by instruction, by instructing into Vedanta, they will ensure that these people become Jivan Mukta. So that is the purpose. So worshipping the Aruna form of Devi will ensure that such bhaktas become Jivan Muktas in due time. We'll see the next shloka in the next day. Harim.